Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some years ago, a congressman introduced me to interview me on a national talk radio show. His name was Bob Dornan. He's a real pro-U.S., pro-military guy. So they always called him B2 Bob. And B2 Bob was filling in for Oliver North. Oliver North had a radio program. And in order to interview me, he told a story that he actually got off a bio for me, and that he told this story about a guy who worked at Channel 7 in Denver, Channel 7 TV years ago. And when I came into the studio today, this dear friend of mine, Dave Kinzel, was in our offices. So, Dave, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, great to be here, Bob.
It's so good to – have you done radio before?
Not really.
You're a musician.
Yeah, I do television work and audio work. And
how long did you do audio at Channel 7? Was Channel 7 – what network was that back then?
Back in the early days – I worked there for 18 years. In the early days, it was a CBS affiliate, and then it became an ABC affiliate later.
So – it was CBS, and you did their audio engineering work?
I did audio engineering and some camera work and some graphics work. Interestingly enough, Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, that's
or should
right.
I say Bill O'Reilly.
O'Reilly O'Reilly,
He was the weekend anchor man at Channel 7 News.
That's right.
And even back then, Bill O'Reilly was only interested in Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, man. We'll have to do an O'Reilly O'Reilly segment today, perhaps.
Maybe.
But at any rate, Bob Enyart Live, we were on the radio and we went on TV. And we're trying, as we always do, to influence people, Christians and unbelievers. And I think you've helped us with our sound from time to time, even way back years ago. And we met, and you told me a story about one of the guys who worked at Channel 7 who was not a Christian. And maybe he was a bit of a worldly guy and interested in one woman or another. I'm wondering, without giving his name, could you tell that story? Because that's the story that B2 Bob, Bob Dornan, used to introduce me a few years back.
Sure. My friend was kind of known as a bit of a womanizer. Very nice guy, but he was really interested in women. It didn't matter whether they were married or not.
That's pretty devastating because it destroys families and it destroys marriages and lives.
Right.
It's rebellion against God.
Absolutely. There's a lot of words in Proverbs about how an adulterous woman can be very bad for you.
Yeah, destroy a life. And it destroys you because you're in rebellion against God, our maker.
Right.
So that destroys your heart. It's dangerous for your body. STDs, pregnancy leads to abortion, and just a tremendous nightmare follows sexual immorality.
Absolutely. And with the case of adultery, you get three lives destroyed. Your life, the woman's life, and the woman's husband's life.
The husband, and quite often they have kids.
Right.
And the hearts of those kids are ripped out of them when their parents divorce.
Exactly right.
So devastating.
This particular individual at the TV station was kind of known as a womanizer, and he was also kind of a New Ager. He believed in, you know, St. Wayne Dyer and, you know, all the Deepak Chopra and all the New Agers and stuff, but I told him a story about being approached by a married woman at a car rental place, and I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? She wants to have an affair with me.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my goodness. So I talked to my friend, and I said, what should I do? And he said, oh, this is exciting. Oh, you should go for it.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, man, you know. And so this particular woman, we had set up where we were going to have our rendezvous. And I remember that afternoon I went for a walk and I just felt like I was separate from God. I just felt like I'm about to do something really wrong here. Mm. And I felt like I didn't even fit in the world. Mm. And I felt ashamed and I thought, well, this is awful. Mm. But what am I going to do? I can't back down now. Well, at the last minute, the woman called me and canceled the date.
Ooh.
And I felt this like relief, like, oh, my goodness, I almost did something bad. Mm-hmm. But isn't that strange that I didn't decide to call it off?
No.
She did.
Yeah.
And it was sort of – maybe it was one of those grace of God things that was like it just turned out. Mm. And then so I never went through with it, and I told my friend at work the next day. I said, yeah, we're all set to have an affair, and – didn't happen. He said, oh, it must have been pretty exciting, though, to think about it. And I said, yeah, but I felt like so wrong. It's like God was trying to tell me that this was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like an alien on the earth.
Mm.
And then I said, you know, I've been listening to this guy on the radio lately who said that, you know, if you commit adultery, you should be put to death. And he said, what? I said, who is this guy? And I said, well, this guy's name's Bob Enyart. He's got the show called Bob Enyart Live. You ought to listen. He seems to make a lot of sense.
Mm.
And so the coworker said, I guess I will listen to that, you know. So he started listening, and he started listening every day. And we'd have discussions about your show every day. And then a couple of months later, he came up to me and said, you know, I'm giving up all this New Age stuff, this Wayne Dyer and this Deepak Chopra, because I want to walk with the Lord.
Whoa, dude.
And I went, this is crazy. It's like you were going to encourage me to have an affair. Not that it was his fault that I wanted to have an affair.
It was your fault.
But it was but it was like, now I'm walking with the Lord. And I went, what? And it's like, I guess that was kind of the start of
And then you began walking with the Lord.
Right, right.
And you've been a dear friend now for I don't know how many years.
I think that was way back in 1992 that incident took place.
92, that could
long
be. That's
time
a long
ago.
Time ago. And I forget exactly when we met,
right.
But it was a long time ago.
Right, it was.
What I'd like to do is do a few news stories here. And you feel free to chime in.
Okay.
You'd be my co-host for the day. I could use the help.
All right.
All right. So, Dave, I had clipped this from the Denver Post just this Sunday. They got a front page story on global warming.
Mm.
And I always look at those stories, you know, because, well, global warming, it's the sun.
Right.
And then, of course, eternal warming is if you reject God and you go to hell. That's the lake of fire. That's really going to be rough to try to stop that. But they talk about these two professors from CSU up in Fort Collins and Colorado State University, William Gray and Roger Pielk, and they're climate professors, and they're saying that the whole hype about global warming is false, that people are misreading the data to come to their conclusions. And they're motivated because they get grant money from the government.
Hmm.
So how do you get, you know, how do you get the general population to want to give millions of dollars through the democratic process to climatologists? Well, you scare everybody that it's the end of the world.
Now, aren't you? I thought that global warming was caused by greedy, selfish Americans driving SUVs. Isn't that true?
Well,
that's not true.
Well, that's what Al Gore says.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I don't know. What does he drive? A private jet or something?
But I wonder what the gas mileage is on that thing.
Yeah, and to heat up his homes. Which really, it is funny. These environmentalists, they have these sprawling mansions. They travel around not in one SUV, but with three or four, and they fly private jets.
Hmm.
They use as much fossil fuels as the next 15 families combined. But anyway, in this article, they talk about years ago, 600 years ago, there was a little ice age. They said they think that the temperature of the globe varied by about 1 degree, but it went down.
Hmm.
And that caused what was called in the 1400s the Little Ice Age. And it was a time when advancing glaciers went through the Swiss Alps and crushed villages.
Hmm.
That's pretty heavy duty.
Wow.
England's Thames River froze, which it doesn't do. It froze in England. Hmm. And they had such short growing seasons that it led to famine. So it wasn't from the Industrial Revolution in the 1400s that the climate changed. Right. It changed because it's cyclical.
Hmm.
We live in a fallen world, and the climate has variation, and sometimes it gets warmer than we like or colder than we like. So these scientists are saying the global warming hype is hype.
Hmm.
And I buy it.
I think I buy it too, Bob.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I got a book somewhere. Who knows where it is? And it was on global cooling. In fact, I think I have it probably somewhere buried in this studio right here. But this book came out in the 70s. And what they were saying is, and this was like Life, you know, Time magazine and all, they were telling everybody that we were about to enter a new ice age.
Wait a minute. You mean it was an ice age and not global warming?
Yeah, no, in the 70s it was an ice age.
How did that happen?
Well, I guess it was cool for a few years.
Ah.
So then it didn't get much colder. It got a little warmer. So they said, okay, we're going to have global warming. All right.
Sounds like selfish, greedy Americans to me.
Yeah, it's our fault. Okay, now, next story. Oh, by the way, two things real quick. You know, we're having our annual telethon to keep Bob and Yurt live on the internet for another year.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening.
At kgov.com, kgov.com. And we're up to 81% of our goal.
All right.
Isn't that neat? It's September 26th. Our goal is $15,000. And we're getting near. We're now on the final stretch here. So we could use help. If anybody could chip in, please, you can call us at 800-8-N-YARTS. That's 800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. Or you could go to our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. You could see all the states from all over America where people are trying to keep Bob and Yurt live on the internet for another year. And then the second thing is this Saturday night is the banquet for Colorado Right to Life. So we'll play you a commercial, and I want to encourage you, come on out. In fact, we're trying to sell six tables. We've sold five, working on a sixth. So let's hear the spot.
Are you concerned about the greatest human rights battle of your generation? Wary of Planned Parenthood's pernicious influence over your child's mind? Join Colorado Right to Life for this year's annual Light on Life banquet on Saturday, September 30th, 2006 at the DoubleTree Denver Tech Center Hotel. Hear medical researcher Eve Silver explain the deadly correlation between abortion and breast cancer. Plus, she'll discuss how Susan G. Komen and the Race for the Cure misled American women. Earlier in the day, attend a workshop on eradicating Planned Parenthood from your community from Stop Planned Parenthood Director Jim Sidlack. It's two pro-life events for the price of one on Saturday, September 30th. Two opportunities to make a difference. That's the Colorado Right to Life Light on Life Banquet and Workshop to bring Colorado back to life. Let's restore legal protection to preborn babies and make women less vulnerable to abortion's deadly side effects. Purchase your tickets today by calling 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. Bring Colorado back to life. Attend the Colorado Right to Life Light on Life Banquet and Workshop Saturday, September 30th.
All right. So that will
be
exciting.
Here.
Yeah, Dave, it's a great banquet every year, and it's for the best Right to Life group in the country as far as I'm concerned. So many of the groups compromise, and here in Colorado, we're doing what we can to keep the pro-life community firmly committed to Thou Shall Not Murder.
Absolutely.
And not compromise for any excuse, moral relativism, situational ethics, not for any man-made agreement or precedence or stare decisis. Just don't compromise on do not murder and fight the battle with that commitment to the Lord, and then he could bless our efforts.
If you compromise on do not murder, what else will you compromise on?
Wow. What will you not compromise on, right?
Absolutely.
If you're willing to compromise there. I was listening to a clip from Rush Limbaugh back in January, and I got to tell you, it was sort of devastating. He said January 13th, he was talking about why abortion is so terrible in America. And the reason he gave, he said it's not terrible in England, but it's terrible in America.
How so?
Well, he said that in England, they voted on it, and they voted on it, and they voted to have abortion, so it's okay in England. In America, it is horrendous because we violated our constitutional process.
Ah.
And he said, we should vote on it here, and some states will legalize abortion, and some won't, and then it won't be a horrendous problem here. So that's an example of where you end up when you violate, you compromise on do not murder, and you think the process is everything. We have to follow the process. So we defend judges like Samuel Alito and other supposed pro-life judges who rule to keep legal even partial birth abortion. And then people on the fringe of the Christian community, like Rush Limbaugh, he doesn't even understand that we're murdering innocent children.
It sounds like Rush Limbaugh worships at the altar of republicanism.
Ooh, I would say that's probably true. And what's happened, the obsession with the Republican Party, and I do not take a position that says we need to oppose the Republican Party. That's not my position. My position is that our political obsession from many of our Christian leaders have led them to become moral relativists, where they will compromise on do not murder in order to win some cloture vote ruling or some primary or some initiative. And when our Christian leaders compromise on right and wrong and become moral relativists, then that has a ripple effect. You want to talk about Reaganomics, but this is the opposite. A sinking tide sinks all ships. And people no longer know right from wrong, even people who should. Our conservative talk show hosts, pastors, Sunday school teachers, young Christian families growing up in our churches, they flat out don't know right from wrong.
Right. And some of our most prominent Christian leaders are that way.
Yeah, that's what's happened. We had a dear friend of mine was saying he had a discussion with a half a dozen conservative Christians this past Sunday night, and they were all saying that it was good to starve Terry Schiavo to death. That was a good thing.
Wow, that sounds like a libertarian.
Yeah, right? Liberal, libertarians, pro-suicide, pro-euthanasia, starve to death a handicapped person. And we had Hugh Hewitt saying on Dennis Prager's radio show that not only should a brain-damaged person have the right to commit suicide, but even a quadriplegic, somebody who just doesn't want to live because life is tough. Here we have religious pro-life conservatives joining the euthanasia pro-suicide camp.
Hugh Hewitt? I thought he was an evangelical Christian.
That's what he says. He's on Salem Radio Network. That was a Christian network, except they've gone public.
Doesn't he support Rudy Giuliani, who supports
Sean Hannity,
even
sure
partial
does.
Birth abortion?
Even last night, Sean Hannity was trying to tell Ann Coulter that Rudy Giuliani would be a good guy to vote for president. And to her credit, Ann Coulter said, I'm not voting for him. I am not going to vote for a pro-choice Republican. And she said, and you know what? If he can't get my vote, he's in big trouble.
That's true.
That was good. So Ann Coulter, at least, she's head and shoulders above the typical Republican as far as morality and knowing right and wrong. But even Ann Coulter is a legal positivist.
Right. Ann Coulter's book talks about liberalism as a religion.
Yeah, but godless.
But republicanism is also a religion.
Whoa, what a good point. Are you a talk show host?
I am not.
Okay.
Although I play one on TV.
I don't even
know what that means.
Did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night or something? Okay. All right, so... So anyway, Ann Coulter is a legal positivist. She got her degree. What is she? She's a constitutional lawyer. She's a lawyer. And it's hard to be that and not compromise on right and wrong because our Christian leaders, our greatest Christian leaders in America, say that our lawyers need to follow the process rather than following God's do not murder. The process takes precedent. So if our greatest Christian pro-life leaders in the country say that, then what hope is there for all the pastors and Sunday school teachers and so on? But, they need all those people to be willing to to disobey God and to compromise on right and wrong in order to have a strong political coalition that will win elections. They need that.
Well, that hasn't happened for 20 years.
What part?
You know, where they say, well, you know, if we can just get the right amount of the right kind of judges in there, then, you know, then, you know, we just get enough votes in Congress and get the right number of judges, everything will be great. But, you know, that strategy has been going on for how many years now, you know, like, and it hasn't worked.
No, Reagan, George Bush, Senior and Junior got six judges, federal judges on the court in Florida. And all six of the Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush judges voted to go ahead and kill Terri Schiavo, to let her be starved to death. All six. Right? We've been doing this for a quarter century. And supposedly we're told, hey, look, even if, like, George Bush Sr., he's just flat-out pro-abort. George W. Bush, he says he's pro-life, but he's very proud of all the pro-abortion judges he's appointed, nominated.
Right.
Very proud of them. And so I don't know what kind of pro-lifer that is, but he says he's pro-life. But after 25 years of this strategy of go ahead, support a liberal Republican for president, or support this Republican for president because he's going to give us pro-life judges, and it turns out the federal judiciary is filled with pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution judges. Look at the judge in Dover, Pennsylvania, who ruled against intelligent design in the public school there, in the public school system, and he lashed out with hatred, venom, against creationists. And that judge who shot down intelligent design being taught, that judge was nominated by George W. Bush. By George W. Bush.
Interesting.
Yeah. And here's a judge now in office for life, a federal judge who hates conservative Christians, hates us.
Does that mean he hates God?
Yeah. Jesus said, in fact, he said, the world can't hate you. They hate me. It doesn't mean, I mean, that's hyperbole. In other words, their hatred for him is so great that it looks like they love us. It's like Hillary loves conservative Christians when you compare it to how much she hates Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Okay, we don't have a lot of time left. O'Reilly O'Reilly, you know, since we mentioned him, and he was at CBS, huh, in Denver?
Right.
He did a stint here, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
That troublemaker.
Before he became that great journalist on Inside Edition.
Inside Edition? Isn't that one of those...
tabloid.
Yeah, tabloid, all sex and soft porn. That's what they do all...
That's right.
...all the time. And so, and Fox was extremely voyeuristic. In fact, O'Reilly's show, we turned it off. When we have it on, quite often we don't make it through because he'll have some show about high school girls being sexually exploited by video put on the internet, and he shows the video.
Oh.
Yeah. He's basically a voyeur on the air, no less. Well, people think that Bill O'Reilly is a conservative.
Huh.
That just cracks me up. And I remember a truck driver called in. And he was driving a semi with his wife sitting next to him. And he said, we almost drove off the road. We heard you say O'Reilly is a liberal. I said, of course he's a liberal. And he said, yeah, but he thinks that Bill Clinton is a low-life dog. And my response to him was, so does Hillary. And he started cracking up. You could hear his wife gaggling, cracking up next to him. Anyway, O'Reilly O'Reilly is against the death penalty.
Right.
He's pro-evolution from animals. He's against spanking. He's pro-choice, pro-abortion. He's pro-homosexual adoption. He's pro-civil unions. He's pro-homosexual rights generally. He's pro the godless public school. He's pro public schools. He might want to have a Christmas party and say a prayer, you know, at graduation, but he's pro our godless curriculum. teaching kids that they've evolved from animals and that homosexuality is okay and abortion is okay, you know, at age-appropriate levels. He's the author of tawdry sex scenes in his novels. He supports the gag rule against churches disenfranchising pastors from the political process. If a woman becomes pregnant by a rapist, O'Reilly would support killing the baby, but he would protect the rapist. So this is the hero of the conservatives? What? Everybody loves Fox because O'Reilly O'Reilly is on?
Maybe he's got nice hair? You haven't been saying very good things about Bill O'Reilly, Bob. I don't understand that.
No, I haven't. He said in January this year, January 24th, this is how bizarre he is. He makes up stuff on the fly. He said, marriage is a privilege. It's not a right. No one has a right to marriage. How's that? So in O'Reilly O'Reilly's world, then you are engaged to marry this beautiful woman, and the government could tell you, no, you can't. Now, he's trying to figure out how to tell homosexuals you shouldn't get married, but he doesn't know how to do that because he rejects the Bible as the revealed word of God, where homosexuality is an abomination, and it's to be opposed. It's sin, and it's criminal, and it's wrong. So he wants to figure out how to tell homosexuals they can't get married, so he invented this. Marriage is a privilege, not a right.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. So, let's see. And you know what's funny, Dave? I have an O'Reilly O'Reilly file here, and it just goes on and on and on. And like when he said, if he were Senator Clinton, of course that would look weird, but if he were Senator Clinton.
Might be a new look for him.
He said, I would go to these 9/11 funerals. And I would get down on my knees and say a prayer for that dead person. That'd be the wrong person to be praying for.
Really?
At that point, it's a bit too late. But, and he also said in the spring of 2003 to Jerry Falwell, he said, you'll be surprised by how many Hindus and Buddhists are in heaven.
What?
See, yeah, right. He's not Christian, right? Jesus Christ died to save us, and if we reject him as our Savior, as our Lord, then Jesus said, if you reject me, you reject the Father.
Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life?
No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what the Lord said.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Dave Kinzel.
My pleasure, Bob.
So great to have you in studio. Remember the banquet this Saturday night. Call us and help us with our telethon if you can.